in the streaming world of what he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
What do you say we go get a couple of drinks? You know, maybe a little dancing? They used to call me Soft Shoes, Caruso.
Soft Shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the 80s horror anthology television show created by Richard Rubenstein and George Romero. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about The Old Soft Shoe, directed by Richard Friedman and written by Art Montarastelli, from February 16th, 1986.
All right, gentlemen, I don't know if I'm going to make the episode. The wind's hitting me hard. You hear that outside? There's a horn beeping. That's the bus. I don't know if I'm going to make it, gentlemen. You'll have to just go on without me. That was absolutely not a recreation of the opening of this episode where Paul Dooley is clearly trying to cheat on his fucking wife.
Are you cheating on me, Sean? Is that what you're insinuating?
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, great.
I'll be in my dressing room or something.
That's something somebody cheating on their wife would say.
Clearly, like Paul Dooley.
I'm not cheating on my wife. Click. Yeah.
Shh, you hear that? It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So right off the gate, we get this like sleazy character.
Yeah.
Played by Paul Dooley.
Paul fucking Dooley. We've had on the show a couple of the non-Tales from the Dark Side, or Talks from the Dark Side, rather, but he's been on a couple episodes of Movie Dumpster.
He's in the MDU. He's Mr. Cheese from Shakes the Clown.
Right.
And he's also in Monster in the Closet, when his wife is in the shower.
Right, big fake out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's picked up from that position and dropped into this fucking hotel.
He's now a traveling salesman who sells lingerie.
Traveling lingerie salesman.
Yeah, there you go. Old Fredericks of Hollywood. Yeah.
Right, old Softfoot himself.
It's Soft Shoe.
Oh, excuse me.
There you go. But before we fucking start stepping on this one, let's get that Fangoria synopsis, shall we?
All right, so the Fangoria episode guide says, stopping at a motel for the night, a traveling salesman is surprised to find a seductive woman waiting for him in his room. But the one-night stand becomes an exercise in supernatural revenge as the temptress turns out to be a ghost reliving the past murder of her unfaithful lover.
That tells
you everything, but you don't have any context.
No.
Okay.
It's like reading that out loud. It's like going through the beats of like the story. It's like, sure, that's the episode, but it's like, it's how we get through it.
Yeah.
I think that's
one of the better ones, honestly.
Yeah, usually they're too spoilery. They kind of like, well, thanks.
Yeah, see it. You don't need to watch the episode. You're good. Yeah.
But this is, I think, you know, I always read that before these to kind of set up where we're going. This is a nice start, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And like I've already pantomimed and joked about Paul Dooley is in this fucking lobby acting like he's like in a massive storm in the middle of nowhere, telling his wife he's never going to make it home. He's got to like, he's pulled over, honey. I got to go.
You hear that? It's a storm. And he's like shaking the door and shit.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's like sitting down in a little booth in a lobby. It's like, there's no wind in the lobby.
I got to go.
Instantly, you're like, what is this fucking guy doing? Cheating on his wife, not even really doing a good job at it. Okay, Paul Dooley.
And also, like, a victim of circumstance, question mark? Like, he, like, is looking for an opportunity to cheat on his wife?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and then turn around, and there's, like, a blonde woman checking into the motel he's at.
Not Barbara Crampton?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. With this big fur coat on, and he's instantly hitting on her, and she's like, no, we're not getting a room together. I'll have my own fucking cabin. He's like, oh, come on, why not?
Yeah, he's being a total sleazebag.
He goes up to her. He's like, yeah, how you doing there, sweetheart? He's like,
how are you, Patty Mullen?
Yeah. You want to go out for some drinks later? A little dancing? What do you say? They used to call me Old Soft Shoes.
Right, which, if you actually look it up, is kind of what people called, the name of this episode is reference to salesman stepping on the soft shoe. Or so. I looked it up earlier, more so just pushing for that sale, even though it's never going to happen, more or less.
But he sells it in a way, no pun intended, he sells it in a way where it's like
almost an innuendo.
He's like a good dancer because he's like, yeah. He's like, you know, I'm fast on my feet, but slow where it counts.
Oh, right? God.
Yeah, it's like, what is that supposed to mean?
And she goes, it looks like you're a little dead where it counts.
He might as well go like this. Like, come on, yeah. Man.
What do you say, Miss Minkstole?
Soft where it counts.
Yeah, software.
If you catch my drift.
Short where it counts,
too. You need one of them blue chews.
This also, I almost called him a landlord, but the hotel owner is kind of a hilarious little side character here.
John Fiedler. I think it's Fiedler or Fieldler.
Okay.
He's the voice of Piglet from Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think he's a comedian and he's in a ton of shit, but I'm familiar with him as Piglet.
Okay.
With him as this character in this episode now, but yes, you're
Piglet. You never watched Winnie the Pooh?
No, I did, but this character has very unique look to him.
It's such an iconic voice.
I'm just thinking about later when this character has, like, for lack of a better term, a do-rag in a fucking bathrobe on, getting jerked off by a machine or something, like out of Steve Brule.
He's very health conscious.
Yeah, but this guy's kind of funny because he's like, I'm all out of cabin, sorry, because the woman takes the last one. And Paul Dooley's like, well, what about 7? Number 7's not sold. And he's like, that one's not for sale. There's something wrong with it. You don't want it.
He might as well say it's haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's under construction. We don't rent it. It's broken.
Someone died there. Oh, it's haunted. There's a ghost.
My dad was drowned.
He doesn't actually say someone died there. That might have perked up old Dooley's ears, but.
He goes, fine, I'll rent your cabin. I can't even do his voice, but I'll rent your cabin number 7, but I don't go for any hanky-panky in my rooms. I'll be down there lickety-split with my old shotgun.
I'll bring my shotgun.
Blow his balls off?
Yeah. So while he's like rattling all this information off about this not haunted cabin, we kind of pan over to this turtle that he's got. He's like, yeah, that's Prometheus. It's got a literal candle on its shell. Like, how is that a safety thing?
Yeah, it's like
thing?
Glued to its shell with a lit candle walking around this little fishbowl. What is that?
Where's PETA? I know I'm not even defending PETA, but like, does that fucking turtle with a candle?
Does he say? It's a dedication to his father?
Prometheus is his name, and it's a dedication. It's to my father, and there's a painting of his dad.
Yeah.
Who used to own the hotel. Or the motel.
Kind of relevant later, but also not really. Weird. I don't know if it was even considered animal abuse. I don't know if that turtle was even feeling the heat, but it's just weird. This fucking turtle, like out of Dark Souls or something, or Dark Fantasy novel, this fucking turtle with a candle. Okay.
Yeah, like it's showing you the way down a dark hallway or something.
Something.
But just by the way, the turtle can feel all of that because it's connected directly to its spine.
Oh, it can?
Yeah.
Oh, that poor fucking turtle. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, it could feel that something's on him.
Hmm. I'm very hot. I don't know why. But what here, is this on my back?
So we could see you when in the dark.
Oh,
yeah.
But here, have some pig's feet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the digestive tract.
He mentions that. Me and Joe actually
had
pig's
feet
once.
Yeah.
They were pickled, but like many years ago, we were like trying weird foods once, and that was one of the things on the docket.
That's what he gives him, a jar of pickled pig's feet.
He fucking goes out to the cabin and he's carrying this can. He just lops it over his shoulder. Like, I'm never eating this.
Like, John Fieldman has, like, such great, like, little one-liners in between.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, yeah, don't steal the soap. Last guy who stole the soap had a real bad accident on the highway.
Which is so weird. He keeps saying all these weird little things. It's like, a turtle, pig's feet. Oh, don't steal soap.
That's great. Okay, see you later.
I will say it just feels like funny lines to say for a TV show, not something you'd actually hear in reality. But again, the man's got a turtle with a candle on the back. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
He's like an off-kilter, like, woods guy.
Yeah, like backwoods dude. Eccentric, like, lonely hotel
weird
guy.
Weird Lonely Hoax character.
Yeah, kind of. Health nut.
So Paul Dooley goes into this room, and, you know, it kind of looks like thrown together, but not the worst room in the world. Kind of looks outdated, if anything.
It looks like a roach motel.
Yeah, it does. It looks pretty bad. Yeah. I was trying to put a nice little cover over and not say it looks totally like shit. In fact, he goes in the bathroom to have a fucking bath, and there's a literal peephole in the wall.
I don't think it was there on purpose, but like, it's so old, there's a hole in it.
Yeah.
And he sees Barbara Mullen through the hole.
But he's like looking through this peephole.
Or Patty Crampton.
Yeah. He's looking through this fucking peephole. He's like, keep that in mind for later. He's like, when he comes back to jack off and hope she's in there,
I guess. Yeah, he's like, better take a cold bath.
which actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he does give him credit here. He does say like, "Oh nope, not this time."
The writing.
So let me get this straight. You're like ready to drop your pants at the drop of a dime to cheat on your wife, but you're not going to masturbate.
But you draw the line at like looking through the people. I mean, that's yeah.
I mean, I think those are two different kinds of things.
This character
two different kinds of like creepy scumbag. Yeah, yeah.
This guy is a walking contradiction because he says one fucking thing and then 1 second later does the opposite, as we're gonna find out.
Voyeurism versus infidelity.
Yeah. Well, you can look, but you can't touch, Joe. Unfortunately, yeah. He never got that memo.
Except
you
can himself.
Touch, you can't look.
Yeah, whatever. For some reason decides, I'm not going to take a bath anymore. I'm going to go lay down in the other room so I can fall asleep or something so this ghost can appear.
Well, he turns on this transistor, right? This fucking, Ralphie-ass, yeah, like, Christmas story 20s radio.
I haven't seen one of these since I was a kid.
Yeah, he even makes a note of it. He hasn't, I haven't seen one of these in a long time.
But he turns it on, and it's like some old, like, swing tune from the 20s. And he's fucking falling asleep, and all of a sudden, this beautiful woman appears in this black lingerie. She's like, Harry... What's up, Harry? Where you been? I've been missing you. And he's like, I'm not Harry. But I'll fuck you.
Yeah, but I can be.
Yeah, I can be.
I'm Harry where it counts.
He should have said that.
Thank you.
Just to go with the theme.
He'll be here all night, folks.
Oh, my God. But he's not even questioning it. At first, maybe he's like, for half a second, maybe thinking, oh, maybe I fell asleep. But then she's like climbing on top of him, and he's like, was this really happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like straddling this dude, kissing him all over his face. She's like, I got a surprise for you, Harry. He's like, that's fine, but I'm not Harry. Let me see those snoops.
I'm definitely not going to mention I have 3 kids and a wife. Why would I mention that?
Yeah.
So Barbara Crampton comes over and knocks on the door and is like, would you keep it down in there? And he's like, who's that? And he's like, I don't even know who that is.
Is there another woman?
Is that another woman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She starts cracking. Yeah. Also, like, this Crampton woman or whatever we're calling her. How the fuck are you hearing this? But okay.
I guess the music's like that, or the walls are thin enough to have holes in them.
I guess. Well, I mean, we see that bathroom, but.
She's like, is that Marianne? He's like, no, that's not Marianne. And she's like, well, who's Marianne? She's like, well, that's my wife. And she fucking like smacks him in the face.
Because he's like, everyone knows my wife's name. Like, okay, everyone's keeping tabs on your cheating lifestyle. Okay.
Well, he's like, I didn't hide anything. I was upfront about it.
I always told all the women I paid money to have sex with that I'm married. Don't overthink it. I have the ring right here.
He's a decent guy now. Yeah.
He paints himself as one.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I had a surprise for you, Harry.
This is a great twist, even right here.
Yeah, now we're starting to get, like, a little much weirder.
Because it's funny, because Barbara Crampton's like, hey, would you shut up in there? Turn the radio down. And he's like, no, go away, bye. Yeah. I'm trying to fuck this
I'm
ghost.
I'm over you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then this is where she starts to kind of talk a little darker,
Well, she's like, I got a surprise for you, Harry. She's like, that's it. Nothing can be done about it, Harry. I'm sorry.
You've broken my heart too many times.
And he's like, what are you talking about? We haven't even done anything yet.
Right, yeah.
Got 6 little surprises for you.
Sure does.
They can all run faster than you.
Count them.
Fucking Loomis is creaming himself 10. In the corner. Well, she shoots him a couple times in the shoulder, in the gut.
She brings his gun up and just blasts him in the shoulder. And you're like, oh, it's a ghost gun. And then all of a sudden he's bleeding. And then she shoots him again in the gut. And he's bleeding all over the place.
Yeah, we don't get squibs a lot in this show.
No. And this is when you mentioned blood in the Monsters in My Room episode. I think this is the second instance of that.
Well, it's like, not around his neck this time.
No, but this man is shot and there's blood coming out of him.
Well, then he goes back to the lobby. And this fucking eccentric guy that owns the place is, again, he's got the workout machine. Yeah. He just like looks over. He's like, I'm bleeding. I've been shot. And it's like, there's no blood. He's like, it's all imaginary
or
whatever.
He goes, what do you mean? You haven't been shot. He's like, where? He's like, here.
Right
and here. And he's like, oh, shit.
Fucking Piglet is not happy. He's like, come on, come to my room. And he grabs the shotgun. He's like, all right.
He heads out with his little Randy Quaid hat and his robe.
This outfit is something else.
And his galoshes.
And something weird he says here that it's in my notes. He's like, if you're not going to do something, I'm going to punch you in the nose.
Yeah, he's like, because he wants to call the cops.
Oh, that's right.
And, and Piglet's like, no, don't call the cops. I run a respectable joint around here.
Yeah, okay.
So he goes down to the room to like search it. He's like, come down here with me. So he's like, all right. Looking around the room, nothing's there. They go into the bathroom, and the tub is full, but there's, like, a corsage in the tub. And he's like, guess what scared you?
Yeah.
He's like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. There was a woman.
I don't have time for this. I want another $10.
No, What happens is he comes out and he sees all the lingerie in his suitcase.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
And he's like, what's this about? He's like, no. That's my business. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure it is.
I make it my business.
Well, you're right. He says he wants another $10 because when he first gets the hotel room to get him to buy the room, he's like, give me an extra $10.
Yeah, because you're a fucking creep wearing like ladies' underwear.
Milking this bastard.
Buffalo bobbing around the...
he's Buffalo bobbing, dude. Yeah.
It puts the
Paul Dooley.
Buffalo Bill.
No, shit. Buffalo Bob is...
That's Joe Dirt.
No, it's totally Buffalo Bob.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bob Dooley.
Puts the Joe Dirt in the hole.
I think at this point, I understand the rest of the episode needs to happen, and, you know, some people they get over things a lot easier than others, but if a ghost, a mysterious woman, whatever the fuck this is, shot me, I don't think I'm going to immediately then after, when it appears again, be like, you know what? I'm still okay with the fucking, like, are we still going to do that?
Yeah, well, it's a hot ghost.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd go back in.
Look, well, that's what I was just about to say. That's what I was about to say. Like, I'd sit on the
bed. Ignore the bullets, whatever.
I wouldn't want to stand up a pretty lady.
Yeah, no. I'd be like, yes, I am Harry, as a matter of fact.
Where it counts, like Chris said, obviously.
Yeah, ever since Ghostbusters, man.
Right? Yeah. Zip.
Oh, my God.
Here, you can put that shot here.
Hey, man, I'd fuck a hot ghost for sure.
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying the circumstances this thing shot me is threatening me. Things are not going in the direction I thought they were going. I'm not going to just forget about the last hour.
Well, she shot you and lived, so you get another chance to fucking fix it again because I guess it resets.
I just want to get in my fucking car and just leave and say, I guess I'm not cheating my wife. What the fuck was I thinking? This is a wake-up call. Never again.
Does a ghost count?
He doesn't get that memo.
Does a ghost count?
That's what he's thinking.
sorry, honey.
No, you don't get it. No, she wasn't real.
It was a spectral thing.
Because this might even be where he says it, or it might be when he's about to get shot. He's like, well, you know, I have three kids. I have a wife. And it's like...
Yeah, what's a ghost job? That doesn't count.
And it's almost like, I kind of love it in a sense, because it's just this character just trying to find any excuse of why he's a good person. Yeah. But we all know he's an asshole.
Yeah. Well,
this is the first time I ever did this, wink, wink.
You know, I did it one other time, and I was smashed, and I don't even remember it. Did it even happen? I don't know.
But I keep trying to relive that moment of glory by going to these hotels and telling my wife I'm stuck in the snow.
Chasing the fucking dragon, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
And a weird thing that happens, too, it's like he finds, like, this box.
He goes back to the room, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And finds, finds like, the box with, like, the newspaper article in it.
Weird. The corsage is in there, too. Yeah. And then there's a newspaper article from 1950, and it says, hotel owner drowned.
Yeah,
it says, and like, he's like, huh. January 8th, 1950, and it's like, hey, that's tomorrow's date.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now you have this, like, little inclination of, like...
That looks like the painting that was on the wall in the fucking office. That
looks like Prometheus.
In fact, I think he finds all that before she reappears, so now it's, like, doubly, like, why the fuck would you hang out?
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Hey, Harry, remember that big surprise?
Click.
No, she ends up, like, putting herself in, like, a ballroom gown, and they dance.
That's right, yeah.
She gives him, like, a
sparkly dress.
She gives him the pair of old soft shoes, TM, and he puts them on, and then all of a sudden he's in, like, a tuxedo.
Ah, my nickname, ah!
And this is where it gets weird, because now it's like you have, like, the disco ball lights going around the room. Yeah. The Shining music kicks in, and it's like, it starts getting real eerie.
Very Shining-esque.
Yeah.
He puts his boogie shoes on, and he's like, you know, they call me Old Soft Shoes. I was the pride of Toledo. And she's like, okay, Harry, whatever you say.
And then she kind of, leads him to the bathroom, let's seal the deed.
Come in here, Harry, into the bathroom.
Yeah. Door knocks again. It's Barbara Crampton. Turn that music down.
Turn
like
that
the, what,
radio
the fourth
off.
Time she comes over or something?
Yeah.
When she could just bang on the wall,
yeah.
Theoretically, right?
Yeah.
She's got to get her due. You know, she's in this episode. Let her have a few lines. Yes.
Come in the bathroom, Harry. The water's still warm, Harry.
Oh, in this shot, it's like panning up her, like,
that's pretty
real
risque,
close.
Dude. Yeah. Like, she takes off her stocking and, like, takes it, and he's like, oh.
Yeah. Mama.
There's a lot of great shots of that, of him just, like, sweating profusely and, like, losing it, can't control little Adoli, and cutting from him to her, to him to her, and then it just, like, cuts to a cop on a phone, and it's like, what?
Yeah,
we're not going to move
the chick with the tits.
Bring back the fucking chick with the tits.
No, instead we have this cop just expositioning, like, yeah, we're not going to move the body till you guys get here. And I'm like, oh, he's fucking dead. Oh, okay. Like Clerks, right?
Yeah, well, he's like, damn, ain't that a bitch? Remember when your father was drowned in that bathtub? It's the same damn thing.
Yeah, and this is weird. I actually had to rewind it, like, on, you know, rewatching this episode. Had to rewind it because I'm like, you have a whole bunch of exposition in, like, 15 seconds.
Literally. Yeah. The cop's like, yeah, that girl who killed your dad drowned him in the bathtub in that same cabin, and then she left, and then she killed herself, and then we found him the next day in the same bathtub, and then
she was in the same... Yeah, it's like, wait, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
And Piglet's like, yeah, I don't know. And he's like, we should fucking have that thing demolished.
I think that there is a better way they could have conveyed that, but I understand they're trying to keep the mystery up until that last minute, so I'm kind of okay with it, but it is very much like, this is what literally happened, you need to know
it's
this.
It's like, we're running out of episode, it's like,
I personally think it would have been great to just, like, have Piglet come in and find Paul Dooley under the water with, like, his eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
But just speaking of Paul Dooley with his eyes open, we kind of come back to the room, and I do love this, like, pushing shot of the camera coming in of him in the tub and his just, like, mouth open with the water surrounding it. It's kind of, I don't want to overuse the word creepy. I feel like I use it a lot on the show, but it is incredibly creepy. Just this guy dead in this tub thinking he's about to have the ride of his life
with the music on.
Yeah, the music's still playing. But the thing to note here is, like, also before it shows him in the tub, the woman's in the room holding, like, the corsage.
Yeah.
And just kind of looking at it, like, real, like, just creepy-like, and then it goes over to the bathroom and shows him, like, and it takes its time, like, getting up there. First you see the tub and, like, his feet sticking out, then it goes over the tub and sees, it's good.
You're right, the order of those events is more impactful, but it freeze frames on his ass in that tub, and it's like, ooh, okay.
And also a thing I have to note here is, you know, at the beginning of every episode, you know, I read out of the Fangoria, like, episode guide.
Yeah.
There's a shot here, we'll have it on screen here, but it shows, it's like a behind-the-scenes shot of him in the tub.
Oh, no way.
From a different angle.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's always cool when they, you know, especially like Fangoria and stuff, they always had a knack for doing that. Just showing behind-the-scenes stuff that's like never in like the actual movie.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. Like a production shot?
Yeah.
That's really cool. So yeah, what did we think of this episode, guys?
Oh, this is a solid-ass episode. This is definitely better than the last few, in my personal opinion, if you've been watching. Paul Dooley's just a treat. I don't even really, like, love the plot of this episode. This is a very character-driven episode, and it really works because of that. In other episodes, I might not feel the same, but Paul Dooley, apologies, I don't remember the rest of the actors, but Piglet and the main woman, and even that Crampton woman knocking on the door, are all very good in this. In this whole, like, this thread of the episode where it's like you're trying to get a read on what Paul Dooley's really about. Is he this scummy salesman? Is he just looking for a thrill? Or is he wrong place, wrong time? It's actually all three.
Yeah, it's all the above.
He never really redeems himself. Every time you think he might kind of step away from the situation, he dives deeper in, and he kind of pays for it at the end there, which is a very classic creep show s kind of thing. Very classic Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side, rather, episode, in my opinion, as far as like the way it kind of, the flow of the episode, the ups and downs, feels very right out of those comic books.
Like anthology formula.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I'm kind of stating the obvious on some level, but very specific on this one. I think of that, the narrative structure comes to mind, makes me think of Creepshow. With all that said, it's at the risk of repeating myself, Paul Dooley great in this episode, like it a lot, but don't love it, but it's definitely a cut above the rest.
Yeah, I think this is a great little episode. It's like, I know I've kind of said this last few of these we've done, but it's like, I like it more as it progresses, and like the more episode we see, it's like when it starts unraveling itself, I'm like, oh, here we go, getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And this one's like no exception. It's like, it keeps getting creepier the more it goes, and by the end, it's like, cool. It's like, this was a fun little story. This was a nice little, you know, short and everything, episode, but yeah, I think this one's a lot of fun. It's like, you don't know exactly where it's going. It's like, you have ideas, especially when the woman shows up and it's like, I'm not Harry. It's like, all right, there's a ghost in the room that, whatever. It's like, you sort of start to put the pieces together, but I don't mind that because of like the ride that it takes and where it ends up.
Yeah.
So I like it. It's a fun little episode.
Before Joe gives his opinion, to your point, Chris, it is another one of those things. Just, you see this in movies and writing all the time, but it's an effective attention building thing. Even though it's still tales, it's not really a lot of tension. There's still a little bit there. The audience, they kind of figure this out that it's a ghost before he does. But I think that adds to it overall.
And I think it is like written like very well. And it's like, you see where it goes and like the ride it takes you on. And a thing to note here is like the writer, actually went on to do a lot of like big mainstream stuff. The ones that stick out the most are like he did The Hunted for William Friedkin.
Oh.
And then he actually did Rambo, the 08 one with Sylvester Stallone. Like, I guess they co-wrote it together.
No shit.
Which is like, if you haven't, I know you haven't seen that. So
I haven't, but that's pretty incredible. Scenes did he write, Chris? Was it all the ones with the exploding bow and arrow?
The turret explosions
scenes?
With everybody's like, like limbs falling off.
That's a movie.
Great writer.
I don't know if that's an endorsement or not, Chris, but I'll take it. This is a great one. This is actually one of my favorite episodes of the second season. This is where, like, I was introduced to Paul Dooley, like, as a kid. And then I'd see him pop up in places, like, oh, shit, that's the guy from Monster in the Closet. That's the guy from Shakespeare's Clown, blah, blah, blah.
The guy from Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This one just feels really good. You have a really good balance of creepiness. There's a little bit of comedy. There's a little bit of drama.
Horniness.
Oh, there is. Yeah, definitely wants to fuck this episode. It's also a little strange, too, because, like, I don't necessarily think that Paul Dooley deserves the comeuppance that he gets. He's a bit of a creep.
People have gotten comeuppances for lesser shit on this show.
Well,
he's still a cheater.
Like, he's still a cheater, but then he's like, I only did it once.
I think he's just saying that.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting caught in his fucking lie. He's trying to get out of it any way he can.
You know, not to, like, derail, like, your, like, final thoughts, but, like, I kind of like how he didn't deserve it. Completely.
Oh yeah, no.
Where it's like has a little more. It's more of like a gut punch.
Sure, and then you kind of feel for the guy. Yeah, I guess exactly. is what I'm trying to get because it's not. It's not like fuck this guy. It's like oh shit, did he? He didn't really deserve that. God damn.
It's conflicting.
He didn't have to go all the way there. Yeah. I love how they play with like when he gets shot. That's one of my favorite scenes is when she and you're like fuck and you're watching this and you're like oh shit like he just was shot and then like that total payoff when he goes into see the caretaker and he's like I've been shot and there's nothing on him. I don't know, man. It's just a really good ghost story that's really well written and it's just a ton of fun to watch. It's again, it's creepy and it's got some funny elements to it. So,
and it's like I always like. Stories that have like a ghost that has like unfinished business, or a ghost stuck in like the past,
the time loop,
Like there's a really good episode of Tales from the Crypt, where the guy inherits, and I'll just won't make this whole thing, but there's a really good episode of Tales from the Crypt where a guy like inherits a building or I forget like a hotel or I think it's like just some old farm building from his father who died in like a fire or something, and he goes there and there's people like having a party and stuff. Whatever. Spoiler alert. They're the ghosts of people who died in a fire that were caused by his fault.
Oh, shit. That's like a mind fuck kind of thing.
It's a whole thing. It's a solid episode.
Yeah.
But it's like that kind of thing where it's like there's a ghost still like their like spirit is still like staying
active.
Where it left off.
Well, that's...
And it's like that's some cool... There's always some nice story potential there.
I guess my question is she shoots him earlier in the episode. And it didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So what happened in the tub?
Hey, wake up.
Erotic asphyxiation or some shit?
I mean, we mentioned The Shining earlier, at least I definitely did. It definitely is leaning into that element of supernatural. I mean, it's not even a comparable thing, but on the very base level, ghost, it's fucking with you, but it can fucking actually hurt you if it wants to, I think, without overthinking it.
She fucked him into a heart cardiac arrest? What happened?
She pulled his ass into that tub and he had a heart attack. Yeah. I don't think he fucked anything in his mind or otherwise.
Or like he could have thought he's like getting to a bathtub with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in fact, he's actually like getting, he's just.
He slipped and fell and hit his head or something.
Yeah.
Or he's just not even dead. And it's just like, hey, wake, just poke him with a stick.
He's got to wake
up. Soft shoes.
You didn't get shot. You didn't drown.
He's narcoleptic.
Yeah.
So another question is, is this ghost unfinished business? Like, is she done now again?
I think.
Or she always coming back?
I think
she's
stuck to the room.
She's waiting.
Yeah.
It's totally happened before, right? Because dude's like, I don't rent that room.
Yeah. It must have happened a couple times for him to just, I guess he said it's like its own bungalow.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to like, I guess that's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guy sounds like a cheapskate. So
he's a
didn't want to tear it down. Yeah.
It is kind of like you're saying though, that classic, I mean, there's multiple, you could argue classic ghost tropes, but I do like that. You're right where it is. This ghost is stuck in this time period, this location. It's just reenacting whatever happened right before its death. I mean, not literally, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I kind of like that angle. Like, American Horror Story kind of did that a lot in the early seasons, and then I think it kind of, like, lost its own fucking plot, but that idea of the way ghosts operate in a larger sense, I always kind of find interesting.
Vengeful when, spirit.
Yeah.
It's also,
yeah.
It's also kind of a little bit like The Sentinel.
Yep.
A little
oh, bit absolutely. Like that. Yep. Yeah. Hmm. Especially the bathtub.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's even a little like The Shining with the bathtub. Oh, yeah, I mean, not even too. A 1-to-1. Yeah. Well, not to keep saying that, yeah. But
it, well, it, and also yeah. With the music Fozzie. And everything, it's like you do get a lot of Shining here.
Yeah. If grandma was actually like a hot yeah. Chick in lingerie.
If. What are you talking about?
There you go.
Is.
She can be with yeah. Paul Dooley's lingerie's right. Briefcase.
Of course.
Obviously.
Yeah. You want to buy something? Okay.
We got something for your yeah, side. Ghost
and lingerie.
And here's grandma photoshopped with lingerie on coming out of the tub.
I mean, Granny,
a nice red number.
Granny Van Dam said, sign her up.
Sure did. But yeah, Chris, do you have any Midnight Madness shows coming up?
Yeah, got lots more Midnight Madness coming up. So follow me on Instagram, tape_hell, and you can see what kind of shows got coming up, what kind of movie parties are coming up, and hope you can make it out to Midnight Madness.
You got a show coming up on Saturday, April 13th, starting at 10 p.m. You got a quadruple feature of Night of the Comet, High Tension, Chopping Mall, and Martyrs. Mix and match your favorite movies and make yourself a custom double feature. Make sure to follow Chris at tape_hell on Instagram and grab your tickets now at thebasie.org. We'll see you there. So that was The Old Soft Shoe. Let us know in the comments what you thought about this episode. And if you could do us a favor, like and share this video if you're digging the show, or if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, leave us a 5-star review because it really helps the show reach more listeners. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Shutter Work.
And I'm Slow Where It Counts. No, I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there. Waiting for us to watch it. Waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.